Zimbabwe. This is your Youth Forum, The Connection, coming to you live from Studio 7 at The Voice of America on Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015. I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and tonight we'll be talking all things about youth in Zimbabwe and here in the diaspora. So, of course, as you know by now, we can get talking on our social media platforms. Find us on Facebook at VOA Studio 7 or on Twitter on at Studio 7 VOA. We can also get things going on our WhatsApp, and that number is 001-202-465-0318. And for those of you who want to contribute live on air, you can call us at 001-202-619-2077. Again, that number is 001-202-619-2077, and we will definitely call you back. And of course, last but not least, we are also streaming live on the internet at voazimbabwe.com, voandebele.com, and also on voashona.com. And thanks again for joining us this evening. And as I mentioned earlier, tonight we are focusing on various issues targeting youth in Zimbabwe and young people here in the diaspora. We will focus on the year of 2015 and the varying issues, tackling issues of lack of opportunities, lack of employment, and bridging the gap between the youth in Zimbabwe and in the diaspora. And now, as many of you noticed, I am by myself today. My co-host Ntungamili is not here, but I am gladly joined by two wonderful guest hosts who will be joining me today throughout the program, and that is Ms. Tariro Kandemiri and also Nosizwe Moyo. Ladies, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, and I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here and talk about these issues we always talk about with our friends. Looking forward to it.
And of course, we'll do some brief introductions. Tariro Kandemiri, that name sounds very familiar. Tell me a bit about yourself.
You might know a gentleman named Jonga Kandemiri, who just so happens to be my dad. To some of you, he's your favorite correspondent. To me, he's my favorite joke partner. So, you know, it's really nice to be here and kind of follow in his footsteps a little bit, see what his life is like.
And tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you up to right now?
Sure. So I'm currently a sophomore at Sewanee, the University of the South in Tennessee. And I'm home for winter break, and I got this amazing opportunity to be here. I play lacrosse. I write for a variety of lacrosse magazines. I'm really active on social media, and I'm also kind of an entrepreneur, so I'm trying to start a jewelry business right now with my sister, and I kind of have my hands in, you know, different pots and trying so many things out. So, it's a very exciting time for me.
Thank you so much for being here, and Nosizwe, you are equally amazing, so tell us a bit about yourself.
Pressure. I am Nosizwe, and I currently work in D.C. I work in international development. I will not say where exactly. I am coming from work right now. And outside of work, I am mostly interested in youth issues, specifically, well, not necessarily Zimbabwe, but across Africa. So, yes, like youth unemployment and all the related things. And then I also blog. I have a blog that I need to update a lot more frequently. But I'm very active on Twitter. And several other platforms. So this is a good place to be, and I'm hoping the conversation will be really live.
Absolutely, absolutely, of course. And not to forget, we have our Shona and Debele listeners who are probably like, I love it, but I need to hear Rimi Rangu. So let's start off with
So go ahead. Sezvatataura manerano chikutaura nezvezvinonetsa vechidiki vanogara kuZimbabwe nekumhiri kumakungwa kudiaspora. Tichataura nezvegore rino 2015 nezvinhu sekushaya mukana nemabasa tichida kugadzirawo ushamwari pakati pevechidiki vemuZimbabwe nevechidiki vemudiaspora futi.
Yes, man. Well, chona njani ngikona ngapha eZimbabwe. Namhla sizakhuluma iindaba ezichiyeneyo ezomsebenzi ezokuthola umsebenzi and yeah, lezinye izinto ngingathini that we experience in our lives, you know, whether it's the struggles of employment, education, and If that's okay.
Thank you, Nosi. Of course, I can't talk about, issues, so it's okay. But, ladies, let's get right into it. Of course, we are waiting to get our guests on the line back in Zimbabwe so they can chime in on what we'll be talking about today. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we'll start off with you, Nosi. You talked about your interest in youth issues. Looking at 2015, what have been some of the main, things that you have seen that youth in Zimbabwe and across the world have been tackling and talking about?
Well, I went to Zim this year in March and mm-hmm. in September, and just from my observation, safely say that 2015 didn't necessarily bring anything new mm-hmm. to Zimbabwean youth. It seemed like there was a lot of the same stagnation. People still don't have jobs. And, there's a lot of lively talk about innovation and entrepreneurship, and, innovation in technology specifically. But I don't know how that necessarily translates to, employment for youth. So that was really interesting for me. And I'm hoping that maybe all this talk will actually lead to changes for them mm-hmm. next year. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Tariro, what's your take on, what you've been hearing from people in terms of youth issues?
Sure. Well, zvandinonzwane shamwari dzangu dziri kuZimbabwe ne hamani shamwari dzangu dziri kuno kufuti. Ma youth asikuwana, vanhu vechidiki asikuwana mikana yakafanana ne ye vanhu vekudiaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Chotara nezve social media, pa Twitter, pa Instagram, pa Facebook, pa kundibatsirawo kuti ndigadzirewo mabasa angu ekutanga mabusiness, ekuzviwanirawo platform yekuti nditaure izvinhu zvino zvandinofarira. Asi mayouth ekuZimbabwe havana maopportunity akafanana necessarily because pamwe lack yeinternet dzimwe nguva kana kuti social media hasati valued as much as sezvatinovalua isusu. Saka ini ndona mukana yesho ino is a way kuti show tiradzewo ma youth ekuZimbabwe kuti tokwanisa kukubatsirai kutsvaga mikana yekushandisawo maplatform amunayo kuti muitewo something chiri positive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tariro, they're talking about the issue of social media. And, it's big for us and it's big for some young Zimbabweans, but not all of them.
Yeah.
If you want to chime in.
And, in addition to talking about social media, but even Nxasikhangela abantu abafundileyo Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe is highly educated and it's mm-hmm. one of those things you always feel
right.
when you go around. So abantu bahlakaniphile bayaqeda isikolo but baswele umsebenzi. And it's just really sad because not everybody, has the opportunity to leave and go to the diaspora and neither do they want to. Abanye abafundi bafuna ukuzihlalela koBulawayo, which is totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we create opportunities for them, there? And people are active on social media. So we'll have Curate BYO. There's Curate Zim, mm-hmm, of course, mm-hmm. But there's Curate BYO. There's Creative BYO. There's all these Bulawayo specific or Harare specific or whatever area specific groups
mm-hmm.
that are creating a community on these platforms. But how does that translate to actual results versus just being a community?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you there. And of course, I would love to make this ladies' night, but we have to introduce, a guest that is on the ground there in Harare. That is Sydney Chisi. And for those of you that don't know him, he's the director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy. Sydney, thank you for joining us on The Connection this evening.
Thank you very much, Tatenda. How are you? And how is Washington, D.C.?
Washington is okay. I hope things are well back home in Harare.
Yeah, they could be better. The drama continues, and we live to see each day every morning. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And on that point, give us your take, on how it's been 2015 for youth in Zimbabwe. Even looking at some of us here in the diaspora, what's your take on what's been going on?
2015, I think it was a year of revelation. We got into the new year in the post-PF Congress, where we saw the continued paging of the people who were aligned to Mamduru. But not only that, we also realized that the economy failed to respond post the 2013 elections, and 2015 was worse than it was in 2014. But apparently, we also began to realize that Zimbabweans, in their broad nature, were beginning to think to say, what are the conditions that we need to create so that at least Zimbabwe becomes a better place? 2015 was also a good year to some extent in terms of the social lining of people without necessarily looking at the socioeconomic right. The socioeconomic status of people deteriorated so much. The economy was plunging. Schools, whilst they had picked up during the time of the inclusive government, we also saw a downstream in terms of their activity. Mm-hmm. And even the issues of child marriages became something that was pivotal. But coming down to the aspect of how young people were reacting in 2015, I think we saw a sad reality when you look at the high unemployment rate, which is now hitting around 94%. But we always have a government that says if you are in formal sector, then you are employed. So unemployment rate is around 8%. So you also realize that in 2015, the government, no matter how much it tried to deny reality and facts on the ground, people of Zimbabwe continued to suffer. The economy continued to go downstream. But what is more interesting was that when we thought the first lady of the nation had met an entry point in 2014, in 2015, I think she consolidated her faith, and she began to really talk around government policy, and she began to undermine certain constitutional standing in Zimbabwe, like telling Zimbabweans that she was more powerful than the two vice presidents, because on the virtue that she was the president's wife. So the reality of grace coming into the political scene and the food handouts that she did during rallies also indicated the fact that young people and Zimbabweans in general will continue to suffer. They will continue to rely on some dependent syndrome that is coming from the government. And it's a sad reality that here we are almost hitting to December with a $4 billion budget where there is not even a cent, with the catastrophe of July 17th Supreme Court ruling that so many people being retrained. So the future of the assets aspirations of creating 2.2 million jobs by 2018 suffered is still bad. So as we look forward, we are anticipating that 2016, we had the president say he hopes that the economy is going to jumpstart, but it is going to be a difficult year than it was in 2015 because of the implosion that is happening within ZANU-PF, because also of an equally fragmented opposition that is beginning to regroup now. But yes, 2015, I think, in broad, we can say it was a bleak year for young people in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you there, Sydney Chisi, with the Youth Initiative for Democracy. Just hold on the line there. Of course, our phones are a bit of a problem as they have been this couple of days, guys. We haven't been able to get people on the line. It's a bit tough. But, you know, we're relying on our WhatsApp, and that is, you know, one of the most popular platforms, I think, for Zimbabweans as a whole. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we want to encourage you to send us your messages. We are on +1 202 465 0318. Send us your messages so we can read them live on air. I have my two co-hosts here with me, of course, but let's read this message quickly from Desmond Munyati, who says, 2015 has been hectic to me. My mind changed totally. What I was expecting was totally different to what I encountered. As a 2013 high school leaver, I was very busy applying to many different colleges and institutions, but it was a mystery for me because it was all about who do you know rather than what do you do. Gone are the days when courses were open to anyone who has the qualifications. In a nutshell, I just want to thank the Lord for the gift of life and providing daily basics, just hoping for the best in 2016. Of course, his take there. I don't know, Nosizwe, if you have a reaction to that.
I guess the need to know someone, to have access to opportunities in Zimbabwe is something that's seen a lot across a lot of African countries. You know, we used to joke that, you know, Zimbabwe was corruption-free. That's because things used to work and, you know, you could walk in somewhere off the merit of your qualifications. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, akulam msebenzi. So, you know, if the boss has a son who's looking for a job, mm-hmm. the son is probably going to get the job before anybody else. So that's really, I mean, it's sad that that's the case, but it's probably not going to change until other things start changing mm-hmm. in the economy and politics. And it's the unfortunate, you know, side effect, unintended or intended, I don't know, mm-hmm. that if you don't know the right person, you know, there's only so much for everybody to go around. Mm-hmm. You know,
but looking at you know, the experience here in the diaspora, would you say that's also something that happens in your view? Do you think that you know, it's kind of a who you know rather than, you know, what you know?
It is somewhat. I think like that's always the case in a lot of places. Just, you know, and who you know, not necessarily being, you know, family necessarily, mm-hmm. but maybe if you've met someone and you've networked with them before, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so it does make it a little bit more democratic as far as, you know, the access that you have. If you live in a city like DC, there's a lot of professionals who can help you in different ways, and you can meet them anytime you want. You don't have to be related to the minister of what, you know, so yeah, yeah. That's definitely beneficial, but it's still tough. Like, mm-hmm. Zimbabwe has its own challenges, and I always tell my friends, you know, in Zimbabwe, you know, America doesn't mean that doors will just open in your face. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a new set of challenges to mm-hmm. getting jobs and writing these long cover letters, and the process of finding a job is a lot of work in itself mm-hmm. here and in Zim.
Yeah.
You know, just different sets of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of my usual, is just being quiet and tweeting and then being like, oh, Mirai Panemanu, there's people in the crowd, there's people in this room. You know, it's interesting because Nocho's Wana Kuti, in both my cultures, like Zimbabwe, America, who you know sometimes is what gets you in places, and it's a sad reality that quote unquote the right people. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really affects my youth because Kanari, you know, Munokumusha, Satuan Boito, my experience, my internship ne Voice of America, my internship ne government, my internship ku, you know, chicken in Kanachita's a chicken. It's all these things that Kanasinga Yasuzie, my steps that you're supposed to take. You have to start from scratch. Saga, maybe that's why I'm a good diaspora, or sorry, I'm a good Zimbabwe, my youth is a good diaspora, my advantage, to know Zivavan, Tato, America, all these different people that do different things. Mm-hmm. And so, even though Trukuno is at Zio, Vamuvano Zio, you know, my big boss, and I'm going to talk to Mikane Okti
Tezin. Well said. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, this is where I do my shameless plug. So, when I went to Zim, when I'd moved back to Zimbabwe a few years back, and one of the things I kept noticing was how, you know, people were complaining about not knowing where to get jobs. And mm-hmm. I noticed that here, the process of searching for a job is very democratic. There's, you know, Craigslist, there's LinkedIn, mm-hmm, there's, mm-hmm. and it's a very systemic thing for a lot of organizations to put this information on the internet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been Vlawa and I'm hanging out with a cousin. Ah, I got this call 2 years ago, I'm 7th. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, and then, you know, the next day, you know, I go somewhere and I'm with Avangan Bagakulu and they're like, ah, Nsanda Vulistolo, Kwabalanda, Sfuni Secretary, lo accountant, as well as Utseba Tolanga. And it's like, these people are all in the same city,
yeah.
But the information is not being exchanged. And mm-hmm. it doesn't even have to be about who you know, more than creating the platforms where this information is there. So my shameless plug now comes in. I started an organization called Employ Africa. It's still very much in the startup phase because, you know, the challenges of having a job and trying to start things bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. It's called Employ Africa. And the point of it was, at least starting out in Zim, to make those connections between people, whether it's, you know, or it's the accountant or the nurse or whoever it is, just to make the connection for people who are looking for a job mm-hmm. and the people who are looking to hire someone.
Right.
And there's a website, employafrica.org, but there's not much content yet mm-hmm. there.
We'll
but
there.
Yeah.
These are shameless things. Plug in deep. But okay, on that note, let's introduce our other guest, of course, who's joining us. That is Promise Muley. Promise, how are you? Thank you for joining us today on the program.
Hello, how are you doing?
We are okay.
Good evening, Zimbabwe.
We are all okay. Promise, of course, you are the co-founder of Promise Foundation Austria, and you also are a 2015 Mandela Washington Fellow alum. But let me quickly say that Sydney Chisi, you know, was here for the first round ever, you know, back when it was just the original Yali. So let me give the plug there for Sydney. But Promise, welcome to the program. We're just basically talking about the experience of a youth here in the diaspora, but then also in Zimbabwe and how it translates. You, of course, were just here this past summer. Give us your take on what you saw, you know, while you were here with the Mandela Washington Fellowship and what you have taken home with you back to Zim.
Okay, thank you for the nice program.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main things that maybe I could say I learned while in the U.S. was issues around the structure. Structure with regards to employment opportunities among the youth. There's a quite role network structure in terms of if you are doing a training program during the summer or during the holidays, you can actually do a kind of internship, so if you like. And there's a huge support network in terms of, say, for instance, you are into agronomy, for instance. During the holidays, you can be you can do a kind of internship or student job during the holiday along your line of your career, so to speak. But and then if you come back to Zimbabwe, this is quite it seems quite lacking, especially the sense that there is more in terms of the demand and the supply side of the chain. So. Like the fellow speakers alluded to earlier on, it then translates to how would you know along that system, so to speak. If you know someone within an organization, then your chances of getting employed they become actually higher. But the other thing also maybe I can happen to say is the issue of networks.
Mm-hmm.
Networks like that the next that you build along the line, it can be in terms of your career, or networks along your interest line, for instance. So they actually can enhance what you want to do. And since I'm back in Zim, I've kind of introduced a lot of youth that I've met along the way to potential organizations or potential jobs or potential universities that can actually give scholarships to young along the line. So these are some of the things that we can utilize because of network. Not necessarily whom do you know, but because so-and-so has been exposed to this network, and then you know who is better placed to get that type of job. Yeah. But by and large, it's still basically who do you know to get to the particular job, which is quite different from the United States and also quite different from my experience in Europe, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. There, the issue of networking is a big deal no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. Saga, this goes out to both gentlemen that are on the line. Munofunga kuti my youth in Zimbabwe, how can I say this? Are they ready to embrace the challenge of having to break through mold? Kuti, you have to know someone. Do you think kuti my youth are well prepared? Kuti vauyeva when you're so pinned in work for something as zero, when we're so no shandem, but I can't go break out through my barriers here.
Totanga newe, Sydney. Hello, Sydney.
Very much.
Hello, Sydney. Uripoere. Okay, let's go to Promise. We can start with you, Promise. You can answer either Ndebele or Shona.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question again?
My question was that do you think that the youth of Zimbabwe are prepared to embrace the challenge of having to break through the mold, Kuti? They have to know someone who works in a certain industry to be able to work in that same industry as well.
The question of whether they are ready is quite tricky. Because like I alluded to earlier on, it's basically a case of huge demand, absolutely huge demand versus an incredibly low supply side of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a situation whereby you've got a high amount of graduates being sent out, year in, year out. And then in terms of the industrial capacity for this job, it's quite very, very low. So what we have seen in the past years that have gone by, if you just look across the street of Harare or the street of Luweero, for instance, you find that the youth majority of the population, they are now earning or making their living through selling maybe airtime, selling food, selling almost everything. And these are graduates that have specialized in different fields across marketing, agronomy, psychology, accounting, and so you name them. So it's quite very, very, very difficult environment. But maybe my friend that I can say to regards to whether they are ready, maybe it has to do with area around innovation. You know? In a situation where we have got a huge demand and low supply, so that's another opportunity perhaps for innovation, you know, where we have got, we see young people coming up with or thinking outside the box, you know. Like, I've had an incredible opportunity to meet and liaise with other Mandela Washington fellows all across Africa and Zimbabwe in particular. And what I've seen and heard from them is that mantra of thinking outside the box, you know, and thinking outside the box, that's innovation, so to speak. But it really comes from a situation where the youth, they have been pushed to the limit because they cannot be, they cannot find formal employment industry. So with regards to whether they are ready, maybe that's an issue to do now with, can they innovate, you know? And that brings another question to say, if we are to innovate, and one of the main key things about innovation has been a predominant thing coming from STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics subjects. And reading by the recent London conference, Professor Morrow, the Minister of Higher Education, he presented a position paper which clearly outlined that in terms of people that are graduating with science and engineering degrees, quite very low. So that also brings a huge problem in terms of having critical graduates who can critically think, critically proffer solutions to a nation that is in dire need of solutions. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a whole pot, so to speak. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. There, promise, Nosizwe, if you want to come in there, chime in.
I guess I can speak to some of what you said, and Engubonayo, in Zimbabwe, especially, maybe I can speak more about Blawayo because that's where I go. Mm-hmm. But there also seems to be a big, like the divide or the lack of opportunities comes from a generational divide. Mm-hmm. There haven't been a lot of new jobs created. And a lot of the old jobs are being worked by the older people, you know. And those, you know, back home, people work the same job from beginning until retirement. Mm-hmm. So there's not really a lot of transfer of skills and those jobs. And I think it's really important, Guti, we the youth, especially when it comes to even like the diaspora, non-diaspora connecting, is that we need to create the opportunities for each other. You know, a lot of the things that seemed like they were really innovative, the innovative space of the creative spaces that I saw were started by the diaspora, which, you know, kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they have access to capital that they brought with them from having worked and saved. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important for us to look to each other as youth, because those jobs that we're waiting on that are there already were probably not going to work. So we really have to focus on creating jobs for each other.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Let me have you pause right there. Of course, it's now time for us to merge over to our internet read-only broadcast, but we'd like to thank our listeners on the radio. But as you know by now, we are streaming live on the internet, so you can head over to voazimbabwe.com, voashona.com, and voandebele.com. And we also have Simba Chakanyuka, who's here in D.C., waiting on the line to join us. Simba, just hold on. We'll come right back to you. And to my guests, I promise Muleya, Sydney, Chisi, hold on the line. And ladies, you are still with me, right?
Yes,
yes.
We are here.
All right, Zimbabwe, stay tuned. We'll be right back.